You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God. For all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. And of course, if it was not because it was too hot, like it is most every place around this country with serious drought implications pending. No, not pending. It's happening. It's serious drought. And flooding in the southeast. Climate change is real. So I hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, could do, should do, must do, and will do. And yeah, I know you did it safely. That's why we love you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. And other programming that we have here. And, well, if you go to timeforanawakening.com, at the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 6 to 8 this evening, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed out of Philadelphia. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. That's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encora. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays here on Time for an Awakening, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. right here on Time for an Awakening. Saturdays from 4 to 6, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Council of Elders. The Sankofa Council of Elders from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then on Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 on Sundays. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. I'm not sure if you've seen it in your Facebook feed or Facebook information, but We Buy Black, if you buy products from We Buy Black, there'll be free shipping. So they're asking you to get, everything. You can get laundry detergent, garbage bags, plastic bags, foil. You can get toothpaste. You can get
I mean, just a rate. Please go to WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, they're still trying to raise money to establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. As I said earlier, and I'll continue to say, it is ridiculous that there is not a supermarket in this area. And it's even more ridiculous that we cannot come out of our pockets for the millions of us in this country, the millions of us even in the Atlanta area, that can't come out of their pocket to fund a supermarket here in this area and then have that expanded to other parts. It is really ridiculous, you know. And enough of that. Anyway, Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba will be my guest when I get back from being either in Milwaukee. But he has an upcoming trip in November to Tanzania, November 18th to the 29th. And then another trip to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2022. And then another trip in April of next year, April 1st through the 11th, going to Senegal and Gambia. And these trips are, the price is very reasonable at $3,700. And you get a lot. Go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Africa for the African. It has everything you need. And of course, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, you go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, you go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Or give my good brother a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. My good brother, Baba Rinoko Rashidi. Baba Rinoko, he has a Zoom conference, a webinar that is going to be happening Friday, June 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern to 9:30 p.m. And then Saturday, June 26th, 11 a.m. Eastern to 12:30 p.m. And that webinar, I'm not sure the cost of it, but go to drrinoco.com, drrinoco.com to his website to find out how much it's going to be. I think it is $25 for both days. And of course, he has two trips upcoming, July 18th through August 3rd, trip to Ghana with Professor Small and Dr. Leonard Jeffries. And he'll be leaving there, going to Kemet, July 31st to August 13th. July 31st to August 13th, he'll be in Kemet. I believe his trip is $4,200. Both of those trips are $4,200. Okay. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habesha Incorporated, they do outstanding work with their sustainable seeds, golden growers, all kinds of good projects that Habesha is involved in. You know, Habesha works Black to Our Roots, Urban Green Jobs, and of course the Kashi Project in Ghana. When you go to the website, you'll see pictures of what's happening in Ghana, the work that they're doing. Also, too, they have a program for repatriation. Repatriation Initiative is an 18-month step-by-step training program, so they help you go back home, establish yourself back home. That's HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Program, theledgegroup.com. Go to theledgegroup.com. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. And, of course, they have a raffle to raise some money, a Tanzanian safari valued at $15,000. So you can take part in that raffle. Also, too, of course, the Ledge Group deals in four areas for human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. And 12 projects in six countries, with over 170 globally employed and over 260 members. You should become a member of the Ledge Group, theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi, bibiatumi.org. Bibiatumi.com. 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 Brothers and sisters, it is the website that you need to be on. Go to bibiatumi.com. Make it a favorite. Go there many times for shopping, news, information, and so forth. There's a series of seminars. The series this Saturday, which is June 19th, Juneteenth Day, excuse me, is Can I Have More? Everyday Guide to the Joys of Cooking and Eating Like an African, which is, of course, it's vegan food and so forth. And so it's a good piece. And then Sunday the 20th, Affirming Black Manhood, Taking Back the Power to Define, Defend, and Demonstrate What Black Manhood Is and Needs to Become. That's going to be on Sunday, and that event is at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Many Baba Baruti's taking part in that, and Robin Walker and many others are taking part in the Black Manhood. And then Saturday seminar on the 26th, the following Saturday, African Combat Forms Hidden in Plain Sight. African Combat Forms Hidden in Plain Sight. And that is at 1 p.m. on Saturday. 1 p.m. on Saturday. Well, Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy, with delicious smoothies and health drinks and all kinds of good stuff that Wadada has. They also have catered vegan food on Saturday and Sunday that you can come in and buy vegan food. That's Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Across the street from Soul Veg, up the block from Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of Black Madonna here is located here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. It's open on Friday and Saturday at 1 to 7. From 1 to 7 on Friday and Saturday. From 1 to 7. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. It's a bigger store. Nice place. So give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Kazemde Ajamu with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia. And he has a coffee bar, just serving delicious Cameroon Boyo and other coffees, Kenyan coffee, Tanzanian, I should pronounce it correctly, as well as select groups of teas and bean pie and all kinds of good stuff. Of course, he has books, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, t-shirts, the red, black, and green shoes, and Ascas shoes. And I think, I don't know if I saw something that looked, my Nat Turners are kind of worn out. I've worn them out. I've been walking all over everywhere. I was walking in Ghana with them everywhere. So they're going to get some more of my size. I don't know if you've tried to buy some in the select good sizes, 12 and a half, 13 and so forth, 13 and a half. They're all gone, and they've been gone for over a year or so. Because I tried to buy some back in 19, but I think they're going to have some. They're going to stock them. So the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, Ulu, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. That is blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win, and that's 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on Thursday nights. If you want a call to listen, you can do that by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. If you want to talk, just hit one and they'll move you right up, and you can give your question, comment, or concern to Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop. So give my good sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essence, your one-stop natural shop. Gabriela Aurelia, who is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, go to sonjay-haiti.org. That's sonjay-haiti.org. And look what she's doing. You can, there's buku. She sent me buku pictures of all the things that the children are doing, the educational component, the health component, the sustainable agricultural component, and, of course, the entrepreneurial component. They are making it happen. They're making it happen. Sonjay-haiti. The Akabin Institute, the educational things that they are doing is outstanding. Let me see, did I put that somewhere? I'm looking for something, brothers and sisters. I apologize. I apologize for being black. Oscar Brown Jr. Yeah, I'll play that one day. That's a good piece. He did that on Def Comedy Jam. That was cool. But I was going to, he has a piece coming up July 3rd, on reparations. And I'll definitely have that for you later on reparations. But, of course, you can donate to Akabin Institute at PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, put in the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, and you can make a donation. If you want to make one monthly, that's cool, whatever how you want to do it, okay? Or one big lump sum, that's cool, definitely cool. But support what they're doing. If you want to have the books that Baba Baruti has written, you know he's a prolific writer, go to akabinhouse.com, akabinhouse.com. For the fine selection of books that they have there for Baba Baruti, Baba Mwalimu Baruti. And, okay. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. June 13th. If human needs are not satisfied, human dysfunctioning will occur. Paul Hill, Jr. In terms of making of warriors, human needs must come to be satisfied from within. Otherwise, full warriorhood remains unattainable and the community's needs remain unsatisfied. There are many of who could be serious warriors, but their strength is drained through a need for attention. I have seen them seek this appetite out, and if not fulfilled in the way and amount expected, even if the knowledge and lessons are more than ample to compel their active engagement, they will run elsewhere seeking the same from another and another and another until they encounter someone or some organization which gives them that attention they so desperately long for. And as would be expected from these carriers of these weakened, externally orientated minds, once that attention is gone, they move on to another enabler because their validation and love does not come from inside. Even the most seasoned among them are easily manipulated by the complaints given them by self-assured and those who can see into their insanity and insecurity. This increasingly more common personality in our youth and adults has been measurably exaggerated in most through a spoilage centered socialization, and others simply through following the spoiled attitudes of peers who they see as being more assertive and having more power because of their loudness and persistence of their whining. Warriors do not whine. I repeat, warriors do not whine. Affirm, I do all I can to satisfy my needs so that I can fulfill the needs of our community. Affirm, I do all I can to satisfy my needs so I can better fulfill the needs of our community. June 14th. Once we have obtained African sovereignty, there will be many disappointed people. The people who will be disappointed are those Pan-Africanists, in quotes, who mistakenly thought that once African sovereignty was achieved, that they would be able to do whatever they wanted to do under Pan-African military protection and a cultural guise of African-centeredness. These are people who claim Pan-Africanism in one form or another, but subconsciously and consciously think that once it is accomplished, it will legitimize their promiscuous intelligence and spirituality. In other words, people who, in their faulty reasoning, attempt to connect Pan-Africanism to concepts like free-spiritedness or humanism or multiculturalism and open-mindedism. These concepts are not only counterproductive because they lack boundaries, they don't clearly identify what is African and what isn't, but they are genocidal to African people because they are fruitless. Tayemba Kalife. The only person who can ever speak for warriors are the workers of the same or greater caliber, other warriors. No one less has earned that privilege. If they were on the same or greater caliber, their words would be as evident in their work as they are in that of warriors whom, from whom they are totally unqualified to speak. Being a warrior is self-evident. It speaks for itself. And because it does, it's easy to see that some of the most insidious conspiratories against African sovereignty are the products of insecure, self-hating, menticidal minds hiding deep in Urugu's shadow, articulating, spewing false, compromised unconsciousness while powerlessly plotting and planning against authentic centered tellers of our truth. Affirm, my warriorhood is self-evident. Affirm, my warriorhood is self-evident. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know, there has been a lot of talk about critical race theory. What is it, what it is, and what all this madness. Let me just say unequivocally for the bottom line. This attack on helping people understand historically what has happened to them, being whitewashed by those who can't handle the truth and their minions, their Negroes, is sickening. But not surprising, though, is it, family? It's not surprising. I mean, after all, you know, they always want to frame the narrative. You know, this is, see, I think the problem for us is that we continue to believe in the lies of these people. We continue to believe that this system is somehow special. They want to say that America was created something special, some kind of multicultural democracy that people can come to. And, you know, and I understand, you know, the many people who come here to this country, many people who risk their lives, many people who put all their savings into a lottery hoping they hit the jackpot and come here. I understand how it feeds into individualism. America's about, you know, I ain't just America, it's Europeans, Caucasians, those who came out of a situation of being land poor, resource poor, and people poor. Europeans, Caucasians, whites. They've developed this idea of their manifest destiny, their God supporting them in the taking and spreading this so-called democracy around the world, of claiming everybody's stuff in the name of. How did it happen? Well, let's go back to the history. Number one, there's no such thing as race. Okay? There is no such thing as race. So critical race theory, you know, should not be critical race theory. It should be critically looking at history, objectively looking at history from various perspectives. And if you haven't seen Exterminate All the Brutes, this is a prime example, documented prime example of challenging critical race theory, because it speaks the truth, because that's what whites are doing in all of these laws, these state laws, of which now there are many, almost half the country. Half the country, the governor signed it, the Congress, and they said, you will not teach racism. I don't want you trying to make these kids think that because they're white, that they're bad. I don't want you to make these kids think because they're you're black, you're being disadvantaged. And that's what it is. In the mortal words of Jack Nicholson's character in A Few Good Men, General Nathan Jessup, you can't handle the truth. They can't. They cannot. They can't deal with it. They continue to perpetuate falsehoods, lies, distortions. No such thing as race. There's human beings. What makes human beings different is ability to adapt to environments which they find themselves in. Either you adapt or you die. And sometimes the adaptations are obviously over a period of time. You don't come into a situation and so right away your body's no. It takes generations sometimes, maybe even hundreds of years, for those adaptations to take effect. Anthropology, archaeology, paleontology. Anthropology, study of man. Archaeology, study of land. Paleontology, study of bones. These particular disciplines have agreed to some extent that human life began in Central East Africa and migrates from that point. Now, whatever I'm saying, you know, you can definitely call in. You can dial up and you can give me your perspective at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, you can definitely do that, you know, because I'm just throwing it out here like the way I feel, because this shit is getting ridiculous. This sugar honey IT is getting ridiculous. But to me, it's not surprising. You know, it's not surprising. So human life began in Central East Africa, migrates from that point, and wherever we found ourselves in a particular environment, we had to adapt to that environment, and so these are the changes. So going throughout Africa, migrating throughout Africa, there are certain smaller adaptations. But going north out of Africa into what they consider a call at this time, the Mideast, and then going further north and east into what is now called Europe, well, they got cut off by an ice age. And this ice age caused us to change. Now, one can argue, I say the change changed us into Neanderthal. The DNA changed. All of those things changed to adapt to that environment. Neanderthals are not something separate from humans. It's an evolutionary process. Now, you know, you could say, Brother Oshi, you are wrong. And that's fine. You know, that's fine. Because, you know, I ain't no damn scientist. I'm a cat that just reads a little bit here and there and just throws out a concept. But I know one thing for damn sure. I love Africa. And I love Africans. So I speak from a Pan-Africanist point of view. I speak from an African point of view. I'm not humanitarian. I'm seriously putting forth an African concept. Because just as this program is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And so what are some of the things that have hindered us? Well, number one, believing there is race. No, the European came up with the concept of race. So when he got cut off by that ice age, he transformed. No longer did he need that slender body with the deep melanin, dark skin. He became short and stocky, needing fat to help insulate him. His hair, no longer did he need close curled hair. His hair became long and stringy, particularly to go down the back of his neck. Because it's so cold. Because why? Because the blood pumping from your heart must get to the most vital place it must get to, and that is your brain. And so it from the heart, it goes through the neck, and the neck is, you know, exposed. So they had to have the hair to protect. And so no longer did you need that broad nose and big, thick, beautiful, kissable lips. Your nose became thin to warm the cold air, for it got into your lungs. Your lips became thin to hold in the heat. That's why they look like monkeys. Caucasians with them thin-ass lips look like monkeys. You know, I keep, every time I say that, reminds me of when I used to work for this guy named Carl. He was a German, staunch German, loved Germany, you know. But a decent dude. His wife... She had no lips, and so she would with lipstick paint on some lips. Yeah. Well, you know, they shoot collagen in their lips, don't they? So they can get some full lips. They have butt implants because of their flat ass. Their ass flatter than day old beer, you know, so they can have some rump, you know. They risk skin cancer. The most common cancer is skin cancer. So they risk melanoma by being in the sun, trying to get a tan so they won't be so damn pale. So these things change over a period of time. But what is even deeper is the environment that Europeans were in. This is a harsh environment. This is a very unyielding environment. This is an environment that is, oh man, makes one selfish, greedy, and sexist. This is a very bad, see, in Africa, there is a symbiotic relationship between men and women that was understood. And so if a male in Africa was abusive, the sister would say, I ain't taking this from you. I'm taking me and these kids. And in fact, I know there is a village that is not far from here that has better fruit trees than what we have here. So I'm taking by later. That's why in African society, men and women work together. That's why in African society, you rose through the woman's line. Women were just as important. When you have a Queen Hatshepsut who ruled Kemet for 21 years, when you have other women of power, Queen Tai, and many other queens, you know. But in European society, in their human development, evolutionary development, women were relegated to a piece of ass, and that was about it. That was about it. Because in that society, it was unyielding, ungiving. In fact, the mentality of survival of the fittest, that's where they get it from. Survival of the fittest. This very me-orientated, very aggressive. There's a book by a Caucasian named Michael Bradley from Canada. It's called The Iceman's Inheritance. The European sexist and greedy and sexist nature, racist nature. coming out of that history. The Iceman's inheritance. And so these Caucasians, you know, when they saw a kill, they might sneak up on the person who made the kill and kill him and take his kill. Saw a female, hit upside the head and drag her into the cave. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, where sister said, well, I'm not taking no abuse from you. I can go down the road and they had better fruit trees and better scenery and good people. But in that situation, oh no, the woman had to acquiesce because it was dangerous out there. It's dark out there. It's cold out there. I don't know if I can survive out there. So they acquiesced to the man. That's why European society and other societies around the world, because of European influence, is very hardcore patriarchal. Very hardcore male dominating. And so as these folks develop in this very warlike mentality, you know, a very aggressive mentality. And so we have encountered these people a number of times, and we have civilized these people a number of times. After a Kemetic society was developed and had survived and thrived for thousands of years, by the time the Greeks got it together and came into Kemet, it was already old and on decline. And of course, the Greeks studied at the feet of African people. Plato, Socrates, Aristotle studied at the feet of African people. In fact, Socrates went back to Greece with all these concepts that he had learned. And they said, what you doing bringing this stuff up in here? Made him drink hemlock, poison. Plato saw what was happening. He disappeared for about 15, 20 years, I guess, so it said, studying at the feet of African people. And now he's the great philosopher. Aristotle, Alexander, the so-called great advisor and philosopher, who makes claim to many things because he had access to the Library of Alexandria. Because Alexander is so called great. Because after they study this, no, we just ain't gonna come and share. We're gonna come back and take this. European, selfish and greedy and evil. We're gonna come back and take this. There's no such thing as race. There's no such thing as race. Europeans created it. And so they came back. They took it. Well, you know, the Persians had came in. You know, one thing about ancient Kemetic people were brilliant. But, you know, to believe that because of all the beautiful things that you did, that you would not be attacked by these barbarians all outside your door and not develop a good defense group. I mean, even though we started crying. And then one time, I'm quite sure we had a good defense because we kicked ass. We extended the borders. There's no doubt about that. There's a history. There's Medu Nature, or what the Greeks called hieroglyphs, to show that, to prove that. The Medu Nature proves that, you know. But as the society declined, the Persians came in. They were kicked out and... Well, the Hyksos were the first invasion. That's about 100 years. They were kicked out, but we still were strong because the Hyksos were still in the dynastic periods. But when the Persians, and then they were kicked out, and then, of course, the Greeks, and Greeks ruled. In fact, when Alexander the so-called great died, one of his generals, Ptolemy, started the Ptolemaic dynasties. That means Greek rule, Caucasians. In Kemet. And out of the Ptolemies comes the Cleopatras. Cleopatra number 7 is the one that everybody acknowledges or knows of. Put it that way. And what's interesting, listen to this, brothers and sisters. The ancient Kemetic culture was so great that when those entities came in, they couldn't change it. They just wanted to be embraced by it. They wanted to know more of it. They wanted to share in that culture. They didn't want to go back to Greece. Alexander didn't go back to Greece. He's buried in Kemet. They wanted to be a part of Kemetic culture. They wanted to wear what we wore. They wanted to do what we did. And so the Romans began to exert themselves. And of course, they took stuff more even than the Greeks. And so when they were being challenged in Kemet, and of course, Cleopatra seen what was happening. And so she was like, okay, let me play Julius Caesar. So she played Julius Caesar, had a baby by him, Caesarian, hence the Caesarian section, because you had to get the baby cut out, you know, Caesarian. And of course, Julius Caesar thought he was all of that, and he ignored the soothsayers, the prognosticators, the psychics warning of, hey, dude, March 15th, beware of the eyes of March. Well, Julius Caesar said, I'm Caesar. I do what I want. I go where I want. I am Caesar. He said, no, man, I'm telling you, they ain't feeling you, dude. Don't go up in the Senate. So he ignored the soothsayers or the psychics' warning. He steps up into the Senate. Cassius and Brutus are laying in the cut for his ass. Once he appeared, then now Cleopatra's like, damn, I got to get a protectorate. And the general Mark Antony. So she plays him. With the death of Caesar, his brother Octavian takes control. And, you know, Octavian was tripping. He's like, you know what? This cat's got the Julian calendar. He said that, you know, I'm so special. I'm on a 12-month calendar. I want a month named after me, July. And I want to have 31 days in it. Well, when Augusta came into being, Octavian, Augustus Caesar, he said, he ain't all that special, so I'm going to have me a month named after me, August. And it's going to have 31 days in it, the only months that have 31 days back to back, you know. And, of course, where did they take those days from to maintain a calendar which we had established at 365 days? The Kemetic calendar is old. 6,251. I got to get the date, the exact day. I should know it, but I know it's 6,200 something. But anyway, so Cleopatra, she kills herself, and the Roman occupation happens, and yet we're still there in Africa. They're still studying us. So there was no racism then. There was no racism. That idea hadn't come about yet. There were people who were advanced, people who were less advanced, and people who were more advanced, people who weren't advanced at all. It wasn't by the color of your skin. Well, they, because of all the internal conflicts, they retreated. And they retreated all the way back into Europe. Although Kemet was still being ruled by some whites and so forth. And anyway, it had been on a serious decline. And then around the 4th century, 325, Constantine, who was in a battle in for the Roman Empire, and he made it the Holy Roman Empire by establishing Christianity as the official religion of Rome, had the Council in Nicaea. At 325 AD, the main person who objected to what's happening was, that's the thing. Like, I got to take this medication because I'm not be forgetting stuff, bro. It'll come to me. Anyway, he was a brother, and he objected to what they were imposing on human beings in terms of Christianity. And, of course, everything became whitewashed. Everything became whitewashed. The image of Christ. All of that. And so Islam comes on the scene in 625. Prophet Muhammad comes on the scene. And, of course, they sweep from the east in so-called Arabia all the way across North Africa. They take Kemet. They take Libya. They take Mauritania. They take Algeria. All the way into the Iberian Peninsula. Because Europe now had fell into a deep decline. Whites had fell into a deep decline. And for 700 years, there were Moors ruling in the western part of Spain and what is now Spain and Portugal, taught Europeans how to get them damn animals out their castles and put them in a corral, taught Europeans how to bathe and develop aqueducts and so forth, all of these things. We constantly taught them. We taught them in Kemet, and we taught them again. And so after hundreds of years, Europeans decided once again to exert themselves. They looked at the landscape. They looked at the situation. They were land poor, resource poor, and people poor. They said to themselves, we keep warring amongst ourselves. And, of course, they went on these crusades to take back the Holy Land through their Christian religion. And, of course, to be honest, I think one was successful. And all the other ones, they got their ass kicked against Europe to take back Jerusalem and all that kind of stuff. And so they said, we made war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together when it comes to people outside of us. We're going to come together. And so they devised this idea of their collective whiteness. And they began to venture out. The period of exploration, their renaissance. You know, honestly, when I was in school, I kind of gravitated towards knowing and learning history. And it was at that time, and I'll never forget it, learned about the Renaissance of Man. Now, when you have a title like that, you think it's human beings, the Renaissance of human beings. And that's what I thought, the Renaissance of Man. You know, even, you know, my little young mind, it was not towards history later that I've learned. No, it ain't the history of man, the Renaissance of man. It's the Renaissance of Europeans, the awakening of Europeans, Caucasians, whites. Their awakening was the detriment of humanity. Their awakening and their exertion on the planet was the detriment of humanity. They devised this concept of race. There's a couple of people that you can chart, probably even more. Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach, developing the Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid stratifications, and many others. Octoroons, quadroons, octoroons, all that kind of stupidness and madness. Phenotype. Establishing the superiority of Europeans, of whiteness, measuring skulls and so forth. And it became the dominant theology and the dominant philosophy and the dominant science of that time globally because they imposed it. They imposed it on the world. In fact, white supremacy, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, that's how I've titled it. Thanks to my good brother Paul, you know, over in the UK, because he's right. There's no such thing as race and racism and white supremacy. They're not white. They're Europeans. They're Caucasians. We're not black. We're Africans. Blacks are colors. Whites are color. And they ain't that. But what they have done is imposed in their culture on the world. And that culture is dominating and sickening because it speaks to individualism. It speaks to greed. It speaks all of these things that are anti-human. Oh, man, I'm running my mouth. It's always up to that time. Talking about, see, I'm trying to talk about critical race theory and why these Caucasians in this country are challenging it and why they must do that because they can't handle the truth. So I'm going to take a break. When I come back for the break, please join me in this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Spirit in the Dark. Herbie Mann, you're on flute. Greg Allman on guitar. Very few Caucasians I play on this program. Very few. Very few. But, you know, that was, I remember hearing that song on the Push Push album, early 70s. Yeah. Anyway, this is African Perspective. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central. Well, I don't say that. Let me just give the lineup. On Mondays here on Time for an Awakening Media, from 6 to 8, Acres of Dynamics Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Jihad Ahmed. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. Then on Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, on Wednesdays, Black Farmers Report, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. on Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Once again, we're talking about critical race theory. And I'm trying to give a little historical perspective of how these people, how these people evolved and how they have behaved on and what they have done to the world. Because, I mean, if you look at the world, because of the imposition of this idea of collective whiteness, around the world where there are people, the lighter the people are, the more they're praised. And also, too, you can thank India, because out of the Caucasus Mountains come these so-called Aryans coming into India with the Dravidians. This is long after Indian society was built, and then they developed this caste system. Developed a caste system. The darker you are, the more you're shunned and disrespected. And the lighter you are, the better you are. You know, developed this caste system. And that is, you know, and then the Europeans, well, because they come out of the Caucasus Mountains, which is the dividing line. This mountain range is the dividing line between east and west of Asia to the west of Asia is now called the continent of Europe. That's how arrogant these people are. That's how arrogant they are. It's not defined by a continent by anyone's definition, but because they say so. They say so. And so when they, you know, came out of that dark age, that medieval age, land poor, resource poor, and people poor, and then he said, we have once more warred amongst ourselves. Boy, I got to get this together here, y'all. And now we're going to come together on those outside of us. But now in their enlightenment, in their exploration, when they go around the world, they encounter other cultures. And they don't come to trade. They don't come to bargain. They come to take. They have a theology with an image of them and a belief in their superiority, in the belief of their manifest destiny. They're going to impose that. The belief is so strong that makes other people who are dark-skinned feel inferior. Around the world to this day, to this very day, do you know, to this very day, you can go to countries that have a number of dark, and may have just like Brazil. Brazil, 50% of the people are African. There are more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. But we don't run nothing there either. And on television, we're relegated to subservient positions, and you don't see any dark-skinned people in any positions of authority. This is the mentality that they have fed to the world. this false narrative they have failed, that they have fed to the world of light. Were white. And so those who are in critical race theory challenge believe that those who want to teach critical race theory are saying to poor little white kids that they, you know, they are bad because they are enslavers. They are conquerors, you know, and oppressors. And to dark-skinned people, they feel bad because they are the ones who have been oppressed. The bottom line is this world, this society, which still clings to the idea, particularly because of Christianity and even Islam, these notions and these ideas can't come together. That's why for me, I don't give a damn if they do or they don't. That's why I advocate Pan-Africanism. We must come together. We must come together. I got a piece here. And this is going to be interesting too for me because I haven't played this piece, but I picked it up and I think that, you know, it may say to us what is or isn't critical race theory. It's not that long. We'll play it.
Now, critical race theory?
Critical race theory.
No.
I don't know. I can guess.
Guessing or not, across the country, a number of politicians are getting it wrong.
Critical race theory is a Marxist doctrine that rejects the vision of Martin Luther King Jr.
Absolutely false.
It's basically teaching kids to hate our country and to hate each other based on race.
False and slanderous.
Meet professor and scholar Kimberly Crenshaw. Crenshaw is one of the founders of critical race theory, which she helped develop in the late 1980s. In short, critical race theory is an approach based on the idea that the history of white supremacy still has a very real and lasting impact on our society and institutions today.
Critical race theory just says, let's pay attention to what has happened in this country and how what has happened in this country is continuing to create differential outcomes so we can become that country that we say we are. So critical race theory is not anti-patriotic. In fact, it is more patriotic than those who are opposed to it because we believe in the 13th and the 14th and the 15th Amendment. We believe in the promises of equality, and we know we can't get there if we can't confront and talk honestly about inequality.
Critical race theory is not a doctrine. It's not a manuscript. One way of describing it is looking with a critical eye at race and institutions. Let's take an example from history. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal. A critical race theorist would note that slavery persisted for almost 100 years after those words were written, and it was more than a century before women got the right to vote. So why is the term causing such a stir in conservative political circles today?
This left-wing nonsense that suggests that any race is inherently inferior or racist or oppressive.
Opponents are concerned critical race theory is or will be forced on students. Supporters say that critical race theory is not based on the view of this race is good, this race is bad.
George Floyd!
Supporters also say in the wake of protests and calls for racial equality in the past year, those unnerved by it are now using critical race theory as a catch-all term for everything related to race, politics, and education in this country. So says Princeton professor Imani Perry.
I think this is the sort of post-Trump era way of inciting anxiety, fear, and actually trying to sort of elicit a hostility towards the progress that I think we've begun to make in the just the last couple of months.
To date, at least 8 states have taken steps to ban topics surrounding critical race theory without naming it, including Oklahoma.
We cannot revert to 100-year-old thinking that a person is any less valuable or inherently racist by the color of their skin.
To be clear, critical race theory does not say someone is racist because of the color of their skin. And it does not say anyone should be ashamed of themselves because of the color of their skin. Still, some parents who hear the term are speaking out at school board meetings.
Just because I do not want critical race theory taught to my children in school does not mean that I'm a racist, damn it.
But Crenshaw says the theory is not about calling individuals racist, but looking at racism still ingrained in American institutions. And she says we have to talk about it.
If this censoring of all conversation about racism is called racism, that's what this move is really about. It's really not about a theory. It's really not about what's in people's hearts. It's about an effort to shut down all conversation about the sources and the reproduction of racial inequality.
Jason Carroll, CNN, New York.
So as you can see, we're always trying to get these mothers to understand the dynamics of what we've been experiencing, going through, and they are in constant denial. Because you know why? They don't give a damn. Because black lives don't matter. Because who we are as a people doesn't matter. The fear for them, because they always operate in fear. The fear for them is the fact that their numbers are dwindling. They're not producing. That's why they made some honorary Caucasians, particularly like Asians, Japanese, particularly number one. In fact, in the G7, this meeting that just took place, this past weekend, the G7, those are colonial countries, same as it was in the Berlin Conference. Same thing. Same European countries who dictate and dominate the world, because these are the far advanced countries, the G7 of England. But Japan is in that. The reason why Japan is in that, because Japan is an economic power, because of the devastation that the United States caused in World War II by dropping atomic bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and then developing a Marshall Plan to help them come out of it. And then they became an economic power, particularly by the auto industry and the electronic industry. So, I got a caller. Let me get this guy in right quick. Caller 646-646. Good afternoon.
I sound like some white boy sugar honey iced tea to me. Bye. You know what I mean? What you losing your mind, B? You don't address Africans in that manner, guy.
Huh?
Come on, bro. You understand better than addressing. Let me get this guy. You know what I mean? That sounds like some white boy nonsense, man. Come on.
What are you talking about, Jay?
This is what I really wanted to say.
Okay.
Regards to this, huh?
Go ahead, man.
This is what I really wanted to say about this critical race theory. This is nonsense, man. Because first and foremost, it's not even being taught on any level. If that, then higher education grad PhD work.
No, listen, so, Jay, hold on. Jay, all of that is bullshit. All that is sugar, honey, iced tea. The bottom line is this. When Carter G. Woodson said, I have not seen the history and accomplishments and achievements of my people in these history books. And so Carter G. Woodson dedicated his life to reclaiming, recapturing, restoring the history of our people, like many other great scholars and historians, many other men and women without foundation money, grant money, went out to reclaim and recapture the history of our people. When you have a sister like Drusilla Dungy Houston, who wrote the book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire, the same year, 1926, that Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week, and the necessity to make Negro History Week, and then later evolve into American African or African History Month. What she said is this. She said, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race or our culture, because I don't like to use race. There's no such thing as race. There's cultures. Cowardly scholarship in our culture dare not refute. But the deep part of that quote is this. She said, how can a leadership point a way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And that's the bottom line. We are consistently utterly ignorant of the past because we fail to confront it, just like the European. He can't handle the truth. We dug up the truth. We know what it is. It ain't them, you know, it ain't for them, it's for us. So I'm saying, Jay.
What?
Huh? Go ahead.
No, I mean the point of the matter is this is just something for white people to rile up other white people to form some sort of fight that ain't even a fight if really dealt with on the proper level they could win. Because all it basically is telling the truth. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't tell the truth about the evil that you've done.
No. No, you can't.
The sister was saying that they want to tell the story so that there could be some sort of healing, which to me is bullshit. And
hey, hold on, Jay. Hold on, Jay. Hold on. I never heard.
We can move forward.
Hold on, Jay. I picked that one. I just picked it. There was a number of them, so I decided just to pick that one because I hadn't heard it either. Because I'm laughing with you, brother. Because we both know.
But you know what's so crazy? Listen. You know what's so crazy is, when you make a statement like that, what is your statement basically telling white folks? We're willing to forgive you so that we can all get along and I can still serve your white ass. See, people don't pick up on things that are being presented by the Negro King. People don't pick up on what some of these scholars are really doing in regarding to integrating us further into this madness. See, the sad thing is this, that black people are so messed up in their head in regards to who and what they are as a people and what their position is as those who are the descendants of this enslavement that was happening to us here in America. So whereby we can't even identify who are our friends and who are our enemies. We're always trying to look for, keyword here, allyship and friendship with those who may be our phenotype but are not our friends. This is the problem we're facing, and this is the thing that Negroes do not want to accept. And let me make it clearer so some of y'all who don't get it. Every Haitian, every Dominican, every African that comes to this country, or anybody else who is a descendant from the bloodline of Africa, is not a friend. And this is why they build communities, and this is why we don't have communities, and Negroes just don't want to accept it. But you think that we would at some point in time recognize that? Because I'll leave you on this, or we'll go forward from this. If the black man was to get reparations, every person that is of supposedly African hue that wasn't enslaved in America, that is brown, these so-called reparation Negro kings, I'm sorry to say it, but I have to say it, would want them to receive reparations, but they would never ask for you to receive reparations if they want to get it. Did the Japanese say anything about it? When they received their reparation, had the Jew ever came to the defense of the African when they still to this day receiving reparation? Nah, brother. No. This is why you have critical race theory and the manipulation of critical race theory. And we, and I got to say this, and I'm just using it as a term, ADOS, are always the ones who get effed over. Because we don't realize we have no allyship, and I'm sorry to say it, we need to really deal with it, with those who come from other places who have also suffered enslavement. There's no unity going on to fight this white man, because the same white man is their enemy as our enemy. They don't enemy of anybody of color. And this is the thing that is causing so much conflict, because we not honest, Oshi. We not dealing and addressing this so-called unity. I'm sorry to say it. I love my people. But there is no unity with African people, because we haven't defined the roles of what is an African to the point to where as there has to be a structure. You can, and this is my point, and I'll leave it on this. Ain't no effing body that comes to America from another ethnic group, I feel, as an enslaved descendant of African people, have the right to tell me effing thing. So what I'm saying is, a Haitian, a Puerto Rican, a Dominican, an African from the continent don't have no right to tell me F nothing. And until we understand that and dictate it on those terms, we ain't never gonna get nothing, and we ain't never gonna move forward. Because if you notice, those groups are moving forward on their collective, and we as African people are doing nothing but trying to integrate into the madness of whiteness instead of trying to separate and hold ourselves and put forward the same type of agenda that these other ethnic groups do.
Okay.
But we don't get that.
All right. All right, Jay.
I mean, you know, if I'm wrong, Ochi, let's educate one another. Let's
That's why we're here, brother.
Even in the terms of critical race theory.
That's why we're
because
here, Jay.
Critical race theory is a joke.
Of course it is. You know, to look at race critically and to come up with a theory about how it should be constructed globally is. But the bottom line is that they come up with critical race theory looking at how Africans have been treated or mistreated in this society, how it not is just individuals, but through laws, through structure. It is a political construct. And so they look at it in that particular way. Let me get some other callers in here, Jay. You just hold on, brother. Okay.
Oh, thank you, my brother.
Always. 447-447. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Good morning to you, Baba Oshi.
What's up, Paul? How you been, man?
Well, brother, I'm alive. So
right on.
Every day I wake up and I'm alive, I know I can do better and better. I must do.
That's right. Always. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Paul, tell me, how are they dealing with this critical race theory in the UK?
Well, let me just say this before I get into that, yeah? Baba Oshi, with all due respect, if you don't mind. You know, I think I'm making a plea for our brother Jake to get his own show. I don't know if anybody else has said that.
Yeah. Well, if you heard him,
I don't know if anybody else has put that forward, but no, let this.
That's right. I'm down with it.
This descendant of Africa via Jamaica put it to him that he should have his own show because he's got a lot to say. And he's, you know, he kind of took me off path because when he said, you know, all these people can't tell him what to do, I thought to myself, he conveniently left out the Jamaicans and he conveniently left out the Trinidadians. It's funny because I remember a Trinidadian guy on Time for Awakening giving him a hard time. I remember that guy. Mm. And when he gets his own show, I wanted to invite that brother so that they can have the debate that goes back to the old days when they used to battle, because I love a battle. Me, personally, I'm a warrior, and I like a battle. So, you know, it's very interesting, and I love him. But hopefully one day he can have his own platform where he can, you know, we can phone him up and give him a hard time.
That's for sure. Yeah. I know we will. I know I will.
You know what? You're eating my heart, because I actually thought, right, when he has his own show, I could just see it, you rigging him up and giving him, taking over, giving him a hard time. I could actually see that happening. So, Brother Jay, that's it, man. Get your own show so we can ring you up and give you the, take over the show. But anyway, enough of that. This critical race theory, I can't say I know that much about it, to be honest with you. And I can honestly say the first time I heard it was on Time for Awakening platform. An actual fact, yesterday, funny enough, every so often I stay up late and I tune in when I can get hold of it. And I listen to Brother Elliot and Brother Richard talk. I think they had a guest. I never know when the program's actually live or not. But I think they had a guest on yesterday and they were speaking about this critical race theory. You know, Baba Ochi, all I got to say on it, I can't say I'm an expert on it and I totally overstand where it's, but I can kind of see where it's going. And I guess from Brother Jay's response that the woman who put it forward may come from the Caribbean or somewhere else. And I think that's what you don't like. I don't know. But anyway, what I'm saying is that, I think personally, racism, even this term racism, you know, the first problem I have with all these terms we use, right? All these terms we use come out of the English language. They are English, yeah? And, you know, we say, cutting off the branch doesn't go to the root of the problem. You got to go to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is we're not even speaking on our own tongue.
That's right.
That is the root of the problem. Yes. So even the term racism, that's not our term. It's not our term. We didn't use that. This, in actual fact, I don't like this left-wing, right-wing nonsense, man, because it's all, it's just nonsense. Do you know what I'm saying? But it for a second. I heard the speaker say, oh, it's a left-wing term, whatever. Well, according to their in Eurocentric ideology, yeah, it is a left-wing term, according to their Eurocentric ideology, because it's a Trotsky-Leninist term. It was created by the Zionists. Racism, the whole terminology was created by the Zionists. And I often think when I'm listening to these debates here, how clever these people are. I often think that. You know, a lot of these dictionaries, even in English, are written by the same people, the Zionists, created all these terms. Yeah, and put them in there for us to be diverted. And, you know, sometimes I just listen, I think we're so distracted. We're so distracted by these nonsense these people keep coming with. Or we're going to jump on the left and lose this Trotsky-Leninist term of racism, and then we're going to run with it, and then we're going to say who's racist and who's not racist. It's not even our term. We didn't invent no term racism. No. We know there's no such a thing as race. You understand? We didn't invent these terms. Natural fact, a more appropriate term would be Afrophobia. Because you know European cannot use the term Afrophobia. Yeah? We are the Africans. You know, a more specific term would be an Afrophobic. You understand? That would clarify the intention as opposed to this term racism. Which rightfully, whoever the person said, is a left-wing, according to Eurocentric ideology, left-wing Leninist term. Trotsky created in those terms to protect and cover people of Jewish origin who were being apparently when they tried to take over Europe in the Bolshevik Revolution. That was saying. So I'm just saying that, you know, we need to start working it in as opposed to working it out. We need to start looking inwards and really identify instead of being distracted by these so-called academics with their their Eurocentric ideology. Look, we need to start going back, like you always say, and I don't need to tell you anything because I'm speaking for the purposes of those who need to know these things, but we need to work it in. And working it in means that we are of African descent. There's no disputing it. You know, right now we've got some people on the radio station telling us that we're Moors, and we don't use the term black and all this nonsense here. We are African. When you look at a person, you straight away know they're African. Sometimes it's not always clear. But you can see it in their actions and behavior. You can see it in their mannerisms and their whatever. You can identify. You can identify on the radio. It means people speak up.
Right. That's
even
right.
So-called black people. Sometimes you listen to certain black people, and you have to really think if they're actually black. You listen to a radio and you think, is that a white man? Or, you know, and you might listen to a white man and think that's a black man. You know, there is a whole mannerism, dialect, everything. But you can find it up as a culture, what comes with being black, or being the root of African. There is, when you're in America, I can spot it. Sometimes people seem so, they look black, but they speak so white, and their whole thing is just, their whole mannerisms and their whole culture just looks white, and they're black. You get them in America.
Well, see, that's because
you get them in the Caribbean.
Yeah, because that's Paul.
The first time I took us to Jamaica. Yes, brother. Sorry.
That's because they've been inculcated. They've been so Caucasianized and Europeanized. Urugu, they've been infected with the Urugu virus. That's how their mannerisms are. Because usually you can tell by voice inflection, by dialect and so forth, who is African or not. You can tell. And then, of course, visibly, you can tell. Dr. Sheikh Ansa Jop said, I can prove to you that the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Kemetic people were African. But he also brought with him a linguistic, Dr. Theophilia Obenga. He said, this African culture that we have, there is connections cross-continent and globally. There's connections with antiquity to present day. There is a cultural continuity of African people wherever we are, unless you reject it, unless you are so whitewashed that you want your dialect and your verbiage to be strictly Caucasian, and you reject what is African. And that's a lot of people.
And what do you do? What do you do to clarify? You speak English. How the hell are you speaking English? English ain't your language. That's the language of your conquerors.
That's right.
And the language of your oppressors. That's why you're speaking it.
That's right.
So people stop to think, why are they pushing English in the so-called continent, which isn't even part of England? Well, and that's a fact. I've heard that the Queen has massive shares down there, and she still controls a whole segment of it.
Yes.
And I don't think people who say that is wrong, because at the end of the day, let's remind ourselves, wasn't that place called America the first colony of Great Britain?
Yes. The bottom line is, that's why to me, the fallacy of England saying, oh, we don't, this is not a racist society. Please, the fallacy of this country of saying Biden saying no, America is not a racist society, along with the Vice President Kamala Harris saying no, America is not. Yes, everything coming out of Europe, when Europe came out of that age, what I was explaining in the first half of the program, it is racism, it is domination, it is cultural imposition. That's what it is. That's the bottom line. I'm gonna catch another call, Paul. Stay with me. 469. Good afternoon.
Hey, brother Oshi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How you been, man? Thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, man. not a problem. You still didn't send me what tune that was by Pharoah Sanders.
Oh, I don't. You know
That's
what?
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. I know you'll get around to it. Look, were you thinking about St. Augustine when you were asked that question?
Yes, I was. Thank you. Yes, okay. I was. Yes.
Okay.
St. Augustine, and he was the one that challenged this idea of what Constantine was imposing, which, of course, was going to be accepted because he was in control of the Nicene Conference. And so that's why all of the theology turned Caucasian.
And then he told him, you're trying to teach us something we – practices thousands of years.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
So, St. Augustine, man. I couldn't come up with it, man. I appreciate
that's
you.
That's why you have a listening audience.
That's right, man.
Yeah. Well, look, this critical racial theory, whatever this stuff was, I didn't find out about it until a few weeks ago when my nephew brought it up. You know, I mean, it's just racism. You know, they play around with different names and they trick people into thinking different things. I just look at history, what history shows.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, but look, I'll say this and then I'll get off. I'm going to be real short. Always keep in mind what Eric Williams talked about in his classic book, The Caribbean from Columbus to Castro. Always remember this. They said during slavery, we know what we're doing wrong is wrong, but we can't, we're making so much money, mm-hmm. we can't afford to stop.
Yeah.
So always keep that in mind.
Yes.
It's not a matter of whether or not they know they're wrong. They know they're wrong. They know the history better than we know it because they stole it, studied it while they put us in shackles and hid our own truth away from us. Mm-hmm. So they know it. They just are not concerned. Let's put it this way. Since we always have so many people who are Bible people and who are so-called Christians, the love of money.
That's the root of all evil.
Money, and that is their God.
That's their God.
And with that, I'll sign off. And, again, great show like always.
Thank you, Kev. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you, brother. Yeah. Yep. That is their God. And that is the mentality. That's why they felt their God has anointed them the divine right to rule. It is their manifest destiny to rule over other people. They are the last of human development. So they are always the so-called minority people on the planet. And their numbers, hold on, let me finish this point, Jay. I got you, okay, brother? There always have been the minority people on the planet, but now their numbers are dwindling even more. Their numbers, it is said, by the next century, there will be so much of a minority of in terms of human population that their fear is going extinct. But let's deal with it, because even though they created, I got you, Jay, even though they created a numerical majority in this country of the United States and, of course, on this continent, North American continent, they created a numerical majority. That is shrinking. That is shrinking. But even where they're not the numerical majority, they're still in control. They're still dominating because why? Their interconnectedness of whiteness. Same as is what's happening in Palestine, in Israel. What's happening in South Africa still. What's happening in Namibia still. What's happening in other parts of Africa still because of colonization. They are still in control. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, but the question is this, and the honest truth is something that we don't want to deal with it is. Why should the white man behave the way he do? It's his right to behave the way that he do because no. His objective is to do what? Survive. Black people just don't have that mental understanding yet. That it's their right to kill the white man because of what he's done to us as an African people. So if you're a white person in America, it's your job to protect your right as a so-called white American, a.k.a. as the person who invaded it and enslaved it and basically built it through force. How do you keep it?
Force.
Through force. Why is it that we as a people don't understand what our fight is against this oppressive, murderous, devilish bastard.
Okay, Jay.
Now, let me say this to my good brother Paul. I ain't leave them other nationalities, ethnic groups out, Paul. I just didn't say their name, but the same thing applies to them. And I'll give you this analogy right quick, Paul. Why should an American, a Haitian, or any other ethnic group come to London, you at and dictate to you and try and overtake you as the person that was captured and enslaved there and that, as one would say, the original black man. You know, see, that's something that we don't understand. There is no kumbaya in the fight for survival when one has, listen to me clearly, have a home base to which they can go to and identify with.
And we don't have it.
That is one of the biggest problems with the so-called ADS American Negro. They have never totally identified with Africa in the manner in which they should and want to identify with this hellhole make it behave the way that we do.
Jay,
that's where we going wrong at.
Okay, let me say this, and Paul, let me say this before you come on, okay, Paul? We have, just as Malcolm said, we have been bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray. We have been manipulated. The theology we have, the Christianity particularly, helps establish that. The imposition of European dominance has established that. European colonization has established that. European enslavement, all of these things have established that and has put fear into us. And particularly when you have an educational system that tells you that you're no good, that Africa's no good, that Africans are no good, and all this distrust. In fact, what do they want? They want you to trust them, to believe in them, to constantly go after what they have, because you know, because they know you will never attain it. But it is imposed upon you to try for you to get that. Paul, are you there?
I'm here, yeah. Baba Ochi. I'm right here.
Okay.
We haven't got the time to really, I haven't got the time to really articulate the answer to Jay's question in the way I'd like to do it. But for the time's sake, let me just answer it like this. You know, Jay, I don't know, and I'm just speculating here. I don't know if you're a man who's really traveled outside of America, to be honest with you. You don't sound like a man who's really traveled that far out of America. And I'm glad you used the great and honorable Malcolm X. I'm glad you used that example. One thing studying Malcolm X, what quite amazed me, he was invited. He was stopped from entering France.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
He came to Britain. Okay.
Right.
And he was invited to a place I'd never even heard from in somewhere up north called Spedwick or some funny name like that. He was invited by some Asians, believe it or not. He was invited up there by some Asians who were having racist issues. Yeah, and they weren't even Muslims, I don't think. I think they were either Sikhs or Hindus, whatever. But he was invited up there because they were having problems with the white man. They were having some problems down there with racism. And when I read that story, I was quite amazed. I was amazed that this man, this black man from America, right, who the French government refused to allow him in for whatever reason they chose, came to Britain and was invited by a group of Asians to sort out a race problem up north of England. And then I had to say to myself, I sat back and said, this man is almost godlike. It's not just the black people who saw him as the champion. Even these Asians had to call him in to sort out their problems. So my answer to you, Baba Jay, is you need to travel. You need to go and see the world, just like Malcolm X did, and you'll have a different insight and you realize who you really are. You're not just an American,
I think I've been to the continent. I think I've been to a couple of the Caribbean islands.
Well, come to England. Come to UK.
I haven't been to Europe because I don't want to be around white folks. I haven't been to Spain because I don't want to be around them. So I think I've been to the places where
you need to come to the UK. When Ochi's ready to come to the UK,
I don't want to go to England. I don't have no interest in going there.
Hold on, Jay.
That's
Jay.
A shame.
Jay, you know, I want to go.
I'm sure some of us down here will put you straight. I can tell you that for not nothing.
I want to go.
I can tell you that.
I want to guarantee you that. Hold on.
Anyway.
Hold on, Paul. I want to go to visit Paul. I want to see the museum, the British Museum that has all of our stuff. I want to see how brothers and sisters are living in the UK. That's the only reason. I don't want to go to visit Westminster Abbey and all that old bull. I don't want, hell with that. But I want to go visit Paul. I want to go to the British Museum to see all of our stuff. Just like, because to me, a more important trip for me would be going to Tanzania. A more important trip to me would be going to Mombasa in Kenya. That's me, you know. We got a lot of callers here. Caller, let's hold on, guys. Caller 301, good afternoon. Okay, they hung up. Okay, because we're almost out of time. Well, go ahead, Jay. You got something to say?
Well, right quick, O.
Sure.
The thing is this. If I was to ever go to someplace like England, I would never go to England talking about my American perspective. I would always go to a place and I listen to other people's cultures. That's all. I'm not going to try to go any place to interject Americanism. Do you ever notice how people from America always want to go to other places and interject their
sure.
BS?
Sure.
That's not what I'm about.
Sure.
I'm about going there and respecting other people's culture and those that have been there listening to what they have to say about their situation. That's why I'll give any person from any other country coming here talking sugar, honey, iced tea about America. See, I don't play that game. And unfortunately, I'm never going to accept no English, no Jamaican, no Haitian, no nothing telling me nothing about white supremacy here in this mofo, because I lived it. And that's what, unfortunately, we as ADOS don't get. Because I'm telling you this, and I'm being straight up with you, brother. I ain't trying to be your ally in this fight against this devil. Because the point of the matter is your perception and perspective is not the same as mine. And
you
I'm
know,
never
Jay,
gonna allow myself to be in a position
Jay,
to
Jay,
be dominated
on, Jay,
by your position.
Jay, I'm gonna tell you, I disagree with you because I'm the one
All
who
right,
believes
I respect that.
I'm the one who believes that we are African people and trying to help African people, understanding that we have been deeply impacted by European dominance and a European philosophy, in a European educational system, in a European theological system. We have been deeply impacted by that. But yet and still, that brother who's in Trinidad and Tobago, that brother who is in Brazil, that brother who is in Colombia, in Venezuela, because those places have a lot of us, a lot of Africans. There are, as I stated earlier, there are more Africans in Brazil than anywhere except Nigeria. There are brothers in Europe, in the UK. Hold on, let me finish, please. Hold on, let me finish. And so I'm saying, you are my brother. The moment that we wake up and realize that and act in that manner, this madness that we are experiencing will begin to cease for us who are African-centered, who are African-minded, for those who want to continue to participate in the insanity of Western society and cling to Europeanness, y'all go ahead. But for us, see, I look at this way, Jay, and I'm going to get to you in a minute, Paul. We're going to go a little bit over. I look at it this way. If Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora, wherever we are, understood that I look at this history of the world, look at what happened with these Europeans and what they have done and how they put themselves in that position coming out of the Berlin Conference and so forth. Damn them. We're going to come together on our Africanness. We're going to meet. We're going to come together. We're going to reestablish ourselves. We're kicking out the Chinese. We're kicking out the Arabs. We're kicking out everybody out of Africa. And we're kicking out the Arabs up north. We're going to reestablish Africa for Africans. And it's not going to be no theology. Because your theology, if you're a Muslim, put it in your back pocket. If you're a Christian, put it in your back pocket. If you any other theology, this is squarely on culture and the ability for us to come together to manage our land, to manage what we have. This is what it's all about. Go ahead, Paul.
You know, the thing is, Bob, listening to Brother Jay, the one thing I can agree with him, right? You see where I'm at. I identify myself as an African via Jamaica, born in the UK. And I really embrace my Jamaican heritage. You know why? Because we are extremely competitive people. If it means we're going to outrun you, we're going to outrun you. If it means we're going to jump higher than you, we're going to jump higher than you. I don't really care. I'm not interested in telling anybody what to do, but I'm interested in beating them. I'm interested in doing better than them. I'm interested in moving higher than them. That's how we were grown. My mom and dad always told her, you have to be the best. If you're going to run fast, you have to run faster. If you're in the ring, hit him harder. You understand? That's where we come from. So to me, Jay just talking out of frustration, that's just all talk. Because trust me, I'm a boxer, I'm a fighter. If in the ring, I'll just prove it. I will prove it. But the problem is, and I'm a competitive man like yourself, Bubba. I'm a very competitive man. So I don't run with all that cheap talk about no one's going to tell me what to do because I'll show you what to do. That's how I am. But the reality of it is, right, the problem we really have, after we've done all our big talk and all our ego talk, can we come together for the real problem? That's the problem.
That's the deal.
Trust me, Jay. If you're talking to a man, I'll take you on. I'm the one who take you on. I ain't saying I'll take you on. With all that big talk, I'll take it on. But the reality of it is, where I'm at now is after all the big talk and all the pramadi and all the ego, can we come together for the real problem? And that's where I'm at.
That's right. Right on. Jay, you want...
You totally missed the point. You totally missed the point. Like most people do when you talk about these things in regards to all I said to you was, and this is where you're missing the point. I cannot come to London and try to integrate into a society that has already been oppressed by other people. And then to make it seem like I'm supposed to dictate to other people how they supposed to move. The point of the matter is, if I go to London, I'm supposed to sit back, as they say, in the cut and let the London people or the English people move forward and dictate the direction of how this thing is gonna go. I don't care about nobody coming to this country and making a statement or doing anything that is supposed to oppress white folks or anything of that nature. My position is you can't come to this country and try and overtake me as an indigenous American. It's just like me trying to disrespect the Native American when he's talking about culture in regards to how his people should live. You can't do that. And unfortunately, we have so-called brothers who were enslaved at other places coming and trying to take over the narrative of what the struggle should be and must be. And that's where you're losing the point. I've never said I don't want to work with them. I never said that I disagree with the premise of what they're saying in regards to white supremacy, white dominance, white privilege, or anything dealing with the brutalization of white people towards African people. It's just that you can't come in to this country and dictate the terms to me on how we as Africans who've been enslaved in this country move forward. That's all I'm saying, brother. No other group allows somebody else to come into their country and dictate the terms of how they deal with their oppression.
Hold on, Jay. Hold on, Jay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
In truth, what you know, I hate, this is not to do with you, but I keep hearing these ultimatums, no other race. No, you don't know what goes on in other races. And in actual fact, if you speak to other races, the Pakistanis, the Turks or whatever, it does go on. Because you hear, I mix with them all the time, and what you're saying, it doesn't go on, it does go on. It goes on in their country. It goes on all around the world. That's why I say you need to travel. And then you realize it goes on everywhere. So when you can find your mind to America and you think that America is the world, it's not. It's not, right? The things you're talking about goes on all around the world. And it's time for us to grow up in our mentality. nobody really, if I, you know, I got family who came from Jamaica to America, right? And I'm supposed it's them you're talking about. But let me tell you this, they couldn't care damn less about you. My cousins there who are born in America, they think they're American. They're born there. They think they're American. They don't even know that their parents came from Jamaica. They think they're American.
Exactly.
And that's how it is. And you can't go and tell them that they're not going to, because they're not going to listen to you. They're just going to do what they have to do. Just like us who came from Jamaica or born in this country, I don't care what you've got to say. I don't care what these people here are going to say. I don't give a toss what they're going to say. But I'm going to do what I'm going to do at the end of the day, and that's it. And if I have to write, then nobody's going to stop me. You or anybody is going to stop me. And if it means, Brother Jay, that you become an opposition to me, stand in my way, that means I'm going to have to stand for you. That's where it goes. Now, if you want to work with me and we're going to move up together, I'm all for that.
I'm down with you, Paul. I'm down with you, brother. Listen, I got to go.
Keep it real, Brother Jay. I'm trusting you. You're just using big words. My parents came to this country, UK, and I hear the white man speaking exactly what you say. The white racist people speaking exactly how you talk. So let me tell you what we did to them. And you can ask anybody. Do you know who roughed them up on the streets? The Jamaicans did. They roughed them up on the streets, bro. Nobody else.
Jamaican.
The Jamaicans kicked them down on the streets. Go ask anybody the history.
Listen. Hold on, Brother Paul. Hold on, Brother Paul. I got to go, man. I'm up against that time. I appreciate this talk. Jay, love you. Paul, love you. All the people that have called in, and if some who tried to call in didn't get in for whatever reason, I appreciate that. And I'll say this. This was dealing with today about critical race theory, and you can see how critical it is as we try to find out and try to come to grips with what happened to us as African people. We are an African people. Wherever we are African people. That's how I operate. That's how I operate. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you back here on Wednesday. Peace, family.